Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 63. Death. For centuries, people have wondered about death. It has always defied the human imagination, and even today man still philosophically discusses his reality. Two basic points must be clarified so that man can form a more realistic idea of death and what it implies for man and his continuity of consciousness over time. First, death does not exist as man perceives it when he is in the flesh. That is, when his spirit is not in the freedom to separate himself from his material body. To have a closer idea of the reality of death, it is necessary that the ego has had access to the subtle plane of its astral consciousness. Because it is from this experience that death will appear the most real, the most vivid. In the sense that, having temporarily abandoned his physical body through another vehicle, his mind will be able to feel a little the relief caused by the separation from the material body. The material body is an extremely perfected reality and is lived from all the energy of the subtle bodies. For this vehicle to work well, the subtle bodies of man must be engaged in almost all of them in order for this body to work in a perfect way. As long as man has not experienced a partially extracorporeal consciousness, it is difficult for him to understand to what extent the material body uses the energy of subtle bodies to survive, and to what extent emotions, or his astral consciousness, serve as a link between his mind and his material body. Indeed, human emotions are forces of low but very powerful vibrations that weld the mind of man to his physical body. That is why at night, as he withdraws sensorially from daily activity, as his emotions relax, he falls into a kind of unconsciousness called sleep. The phenomenon of death has been amplified in human consciousness because of the increasingly complex emotions of man. Western man has difficulty realizing that some races see death from a different perspective than he does. The reason is simple. It is that the emotionality or emotional life of the Westerner is more complex than that of certain peoples, so that the power of emotions being reduced in these peoples, because of the simplicity of their emotions, of their lives, the phenomenon of death does not generate as much anxiety. The phenomenon of death, from the point of view of fear, of the anguish it creates, is directly linked to the more or less complex interplay of emotions which, without man being aware of it, captures the energy of the mind to bind it to the material body. Death itself is a condition of the spirit and not a condition of material life. We believe that it is a condition of material life, because the spirit of man has not reached its full maturity. So he is not yet free not to die. That is, to return to lower planes of life. For death not to exist as such for man, his mind must be perfectly free. That is, perfectly in harmony with the energy of light that underlies the reality of the planes, which gives him his mental, emotional and vital reality. But man does not understand the role of his mind in his life. He lives by his mind but does not understand its role. That is, he does not see its creative function. He experiments only the vital function, and this function is affected by his memory, and not linked or fused to the energy of the universal spirit of the thought adjuster that underlies the reality of his lower planes. The phenomenon of death is similar to the incomplete experience of the mind. And as long as the experience of the spirit is incomplete, that is, as long as the spirit has not reached full maturity, it must return to the lower planes of death. For it is not advanced enough to live in perfect harmony with the energy of the universal spirit. Hence death. Then it is not that death is a natural phenomenon of earth life, but that death exists because the spirit is not sufficiently evolved to be free of this return to the lower planes of evolution. It has never been established that man dies or that man knows death as he knows it or under the conditions he knows it. Death became man's experience because, as a result of the descent of the spirit into matter, the links between matter and emotion became so intense that it eventually became impossible for man to leave his material body without suffering from the rupture of the link between the astral body and the physical body. The phenomenon of death as experienced today by modern man is more difficult psychologically than by the past, because it has become almost impossible for man to detach himself from the value of the increasingly progressive form of his civilization, so that a greater emotional connection has developed between spirit and matter through the astral body. This phenomenon stems from the fact that the more the astral body is engaged in material experience, the more difficult it is for the mind to transfer its energy to a plane where the experience of death does not exist, as we know it today. Death or the experience of death is always psychologically proportional to one's idea of it. But its reality is something else. Death is only the withdrawal of the spirit from its material vehicle, a little like in sleep, with the difference that in sleep, the astral body remains bound to the material body, and that in sleep, the astral body does not withdraw sufficiently in the darkness of death so that the mortal can find there the dear ones who have already passed beyond the threshold of the human memory. To fully understand death, we must realize that human memory, as we live it, is separated from the etheric plane. That is, it is freed from the etheric double. And when memory is free of the etheric double, memory becomes death. Memory is death. In other words, death is the separation of human memory from the etheric double. Period. For a spirit to be well in death, its memory must be perfectly separated from the double. Then his astral body, seat of emotions, and his mental body, seat of thoughts, return to their respective planes. The consciousness of man, of the mortal, is not in his memory, but on the mental plane. Memory is only a tool of his consciousness allowing him to realize his existence. If the dying person does not lose the etheric memory of the double or in the double, he will remain clinging to this plane and his life will be troubled. For he will not be able to recognize that he is dead. And in that case, we'll have to wait a while before we make him realize it. On the other hand, if the normal separation of the memory of the etheric body, of the double, is made, his consciousness will awaken on the highest plane of the astral to which he will have access according to his level of evolution. And there he will realize that he is no longer on the material plane. He will then be led by other deceased who have the duty, the task, to instruct the newcomers on their plane. The separation of the planes of consciousness from the subtle bodies is very important, because each subtle body must return to its ether. That is, the mind must be studied for its imperfections and perfection by the intelligences who deal with this kind of thing. The astral body must temporarily serve to maintain the personality that had been formed on the material plane, and the etheric double must return to the primordial energy, because it has no other function than to channel the forces of life for the maintenance of the material body. The mental body, having been studied by the higher intelligences, will serve for future incarnations. That is, it will be preserved by these intelligences and used later in the evolution towards fusion. The astral body will serve to filter the impurities of animal consciousness until man can use his astral body in incarnation in a totally conscious way. In other words, without the latter having any control over his universal consciousness. Thus, to fully understand the phenomenon of death, it is necessary to realize that man is a multidimensional being who has not yet reached full maturity. That is, he does not yet have his identity. And because man does not yet possess his real identity, his subtle bodies must separate after earthly life. For there is no universal force in him close enough to his spirit to keep them united forever. In other words, fusion has not yet taken place in the humans. And fusion alone can prevent the subtle bodies of man from separating at the end of the earthly and material life cycle. The soul is the memory of man. And when the time of death comes, the memory of man, or the soul, must withdraw from the etheric double. But the spirit of man is not free. Because for the spirit of man to be free or liberated, the memory of man, or the soul, must no longer have the power to dissociate its being when it withdraws from the etheric double. In other words, as long as the memory of man, the soul, is the force in him that occupies the etheric double, man will not have access to his identity. That is, his subtle bodies will have to separate themselves from each other when the memory, or the soul, has left the envelope of the etheric double. One day this force, this memory, this soul, will have to be replaced in the etheric double by another force, the adjuster of thought. And the fusion that will create this new condition of man will create the Marantia body. It is in fact only the etheric double of man elevated vibratorily to a universal status. The phenomenon of death can only be well understood if we recognize the role of memory, the role of the soul, in planetary initiation. However, planetary initiation means that all men must evolve towards a condition that is more and more favorable to eventual fusion. However, the eventual fusion of the mortal requires that memory, that the soul, may one day cease to be the point of reference for any activity of the human spirit. That is, the mind is no longer governed by this memory, but by a higher mind with which it is in perfect harmony. That is, in fusion. From this moment in the evolution of man, memory will no longer serve. That is, the soul will no longer have its place in human consciousness. The expression of man will become finalitarian. That is, man will have reached the stage of being marantial. That is, once again, he will no longer be subject to the planetary laws of initiation. That he will no longer be obliged to learn by experience. Because his etheric double will have become a universal body which will then allow him to control nature. And if man has control over the inferior nature, the latter can no longer be, for him, a field of blind experiences where his subtle bodies undergo any initiation to perfect themselves. Fusion is the final state of man, the universal condition of man, and he can no longer suffer death. The phenomenon of death is an inferior condition of evolution. Death, as experienced and experienced by man, demonstrates the powerful role of his memory and the powerlessness of light in him. If light were to descend, or could descend, and unite all his plans, all his human principles, he would be free of this memory. But to be free of his memory, he must prepare his mental body and his astral body while he is in matter. Because after death it is too late. When man dies and his subtle bodies separate, there is no longer a human being left. Personality remains, because memory continues to exert its influence on the astral plane. So that personality, with all its colors, remains active, not on a solid material plane, through a solid physical body, but on a plane that suits its memory, that is, on the astral plane. For the personality of man on earth is constructed from the astral impressions and the memory of these impressions. When man is more evolved, when he has fully developed his mental body, that is, when his spirit is in harmony with the universal spirit, he will be able to enjoy after the material physical experience, not his unconscious personality, whose memory or soul has continued in the past to express his personality on the astral plane, but will enjoy his pure mental consciousness. Instead of living on the level of personality, that is, on the level of astral impressions or influences recorded by his soul memory, He will live on the level of his pure mental consciousness. Not under the control of soul memory, but because of his bond of fusion with the mind. On the level of the mind. So that he will no longer have an unconscious personality. That is, his unconscious personality will no longer contain an animal element. He will have a real personality. That is, he will have his real identity, endowed with his real identity. The mental plane, which will be the plane of his consciousness, will give him free access to the material plane or the etheric plane of matter. And it is through the etheric body elevated to the universal status of the Marantia body, or etheric body united to the spirit, that this will be possible. Then the man who will be universal, will live his identity on the higher mental plane. And no longer being subject to the cycles of life and death, will be able to descend into matter using a subtle body that will no longer be a dwelling place for the memory of the soul, but a vehicle for the fused spirit of man. The role and perfect understanding of personality is important for man, because the personality of the unconscious, unfused man is always astral. That is, it is constructed of impressions that are not created by pure mind or pure consciousness, but by the coloration that the astral plane creates on its lower mental consciousness. Hence the power of emotion on the mental consciousness of man. So that the human personality is not pure, perfect. So that is why he does not know his identity. That is, his universal relationship with the universal spirit. And it is because of the lack of identity, of its absence, that it is obliged after death to continue its evolution on a plane lower than the mind, which is called the plane of death, the astral plane. If man continued his evolution on the mental plane, he would not know death as he knows it. Because to evolve on the mental plane, he must be united to the universal spirit. And when this connection is made with man on earth, the vibratory power of the spirit unifies all the lower principles in such a way that the mental body communicates with the spirit and receives the spirit. The astral body serves to bind man with matter through his senses. And the universalized etheric body allows him to carry his spirit beyond the laws of matter, so that he can be wherever he wants in time and space. The separation of subtle bodies is the greatest problem of man at death. It is this separation that creates the cyclical law of life and death. For the separation to end, man must change the content of his planetary consciousness. That is, he must recognize the universal spirit in him. This consciousness will accelerate the process by which the soul, or memory, loses its strength and influence, thus opening the mental body to universal intelligence, which can then bind the lower principles so that the separation of the subtle bodies eventually stops as quickly as possible. When man dies, for example, the etheric double disintegrates and returns to undifferentiated energy. Why? Why? Because it no longer serves the memory or the soul. And when a subtle body no longer serves, it returns to the energy. Later, when the spirit of man must return to matter to evolve, a new etheric double body is used. But what etheric double? Not the one that served him in the past, which suited the material race through which he lived his experience, but that of a race that coincides with the time of the new incarnation. Then it is normal that the etheric double of man no longer serves after death. But when man experiences fusion, the etheric double has a universal status. It becomes a Merontia body, a body of light. That is, a body inhabited by light and no longer by soul memory. Then the etheric double, having become Merontia, no longer returns to undifferentiated energy. This is what gives man the character of immortality. The phenomenon of race continuity is extremely important to understand in order to grasp the function and continuity of the etheric double. The etheric double is the product of the vital energy that continues genetically at the level of the material races. For an etheric body to cease, the material physical race must cease. That is why sexuality is a very powerful force that allows races to continue their material evolution. But the material evolution of a race can be altered by the thoughts of the race or social forces such as war, which can destroy a race forever. This is why war is dangerous for mankind. If it becomes too devastating for the race. As long as the race exists and cannot be totally destroyed by war, war is a lesser evil, seen from the cosmic point of view. But if it risks destroying too much of the human race, because of its global character, special interventions are needed to rescue the most advanced men, so that the human race can continue its evolution on a more advanced scale. When man has reached his final stage, when he knows fusion, there will no longer be any danger of extinction of the human race. For the etheric double will be preserved eternally because of the fusion between mortal and light. Then the human race will be able to cease its material evolution as we know it, and man will evolve on the pure mind, so that civilization will be of a different order. And the man of the earth, the material man, will no longer be as we know him. Man will be an etheric being and his life will continue on a plane other than the physical plane. But the earth will remain, because the earth will always be used for evolution. So that the animals of today will continue their evolution and men will become their guardians. A little like the superior beings have kept man and watched over his evolution. The reins of the earth must evolve towards an increasingly sophisticated consciousness. Life is great and infinite, but death delays life. That is why man will understand death. And once he understands it, he will no longer be a slave to it. When man dies and his subtle body's separate, his astral body, which reflects his unconscious human personality, continues to evolve. That is, that part of himself continues to work on his evolution, as man did on Earth. Just as memory, or the soul, nourishes the lower mental plane and the astral plane on Earth, the latter, the astral plane, nourishes the personality after material life, so that the dead, instead of living, only repeats what has already been lived. If he has lived well, he will repeat what he has lived well. If he has lived badly, he will repeat the same thing. For there is no intelligence on the astral plane. There are only impressions coming from, recorded, in the soul memory. So it is useless for man to want to believe that the personalities on the level of death are the same as those he has known on the material level. They lack something, and that something is the mental plane of their spirit, to which they had access in material life, but which is no longer in death, because the subtle bodies have been separated. In other words, to fully understand the human phenomenon and the phenomenon of death, one must be aware of the fact that man is either unconscious in matter or memory in death. Or he is conscious in matter and less memory in death. Or that it is fused into matter and free from death. We talked about the astral body and the fact that this subtle body becomes the expression of the earthly personality, through the memory of the soul, at death. What then happens to the lower mental body? The lower mental body being an upper body, and not an animal body such as the astral body, the latter is preserved in the universal archives. That is, it is maintained intact by the thought adjusters who study its evolution, in order to be able to continue their service of descent into man through this body, when a new descent into matter will be made. And what does the soul have to do with all this? Well, the soul, which is a memory, is preserved, is part of the astral consciousness, or the astral personality, or the personality of the deceased. That is, the astral body and all the impressions it has recorded during the earthly life are imprinted upon it. This does not mean that memory, or the soul, is astral consciousness, but that memory after death is located, stops, on the astral plane as it was located during life on the etheric plane. Memory having been moved to a higher plane, the astral plane after death, it has more power over personality, because while it was on the etheric plane, the mental body could escape its influence if it was sufficiently evolved, for example, to communicate with the thought adjuster. But as soon as death occurs and the mental body returns to its plane, memory is in total power. That is, the personality can do nothing against it. This is why the deceased is totally trapped in the memory of the soul. Even if he has evolved a lot during the past ages, because what he has learned will always be conditioned by memory, and not by the universal intelligence with which he can establish a total link only when he has returned to matter and memory is no longer in the etheric double, and that the latter is inhabited by the light of the intelligence. From this moment on, a close connection exists between the higher mental plane and the etheric double that has become Arontia. From this stage of evolution, soul memory no longer serves man, and that is why we say that the astral body is perfect. That is, that it is no longer subject to the laws of involution. Evil becomes impossible and man becomes a creator. It must be understood that the astral body is the animal body of man. That is, the astral body is the one that serves man in the world of the senses. And since man is not yet universalized on Earth, his astral body constantly accumulates impressions of low vibrations, hence the possibility of planetary evil. When man is universalized, his astral body will be purified, decontaminated, and then this body will serve him creatively on the material level. Understanding the phenomenon of death is extremely important for man, because as soon as he understands death, his memory undergoes a vibratory shock, because it loses its power over the astral body. And this loss of power over the astral body of man allows the spirit to penetrate even further into the spirit of man or the mental body of man. When the mental body is lightened with respect to the phenomenon of death, the experience of the mind is transformed more quickly, and this leads to a transformation of the astral consciousness. Man is a being who has forgotten death and his past experiences. This loss of memory takes away his measure of himself. But he must also realize that it is not the past measure of himself that counts, but the measure of himself according to the penetration of the universal intelligence or the universal spirit in him. The phenomenon of death, once well understood, allows man to direct his mind towards something other than the end of his material existence, in a very subliminal way. Understanding death reduces the power of memory over him. All work must be done on a human level to reduce as much as possible the power of soul memory, because it is it that allows death. The phenomenon of death is a lower mental life condition. When the mental body is developed and becomes the seat of the universal spirit, death is repelled according to the possibility of fusion between man and spirit. Some have said that the fusion of the mortal is between the soul and the thought adjuster. This is not perfectly fair. The soul, once the fusion has been established, only exists, remains, until the day the fusion is complete. When fusion is complete, the thought adjuster, the universal mind, replaces soul memory, and the astral body and mind are free. That is, the higher mind is the channel of pure intelligence, the astral body, the tool, the link between mind and matter, and the etheric body becomes the morontialized luminous vehicle that man uses to pass from one reality to another. There are two things to understand when we talk about death. First, that it exists only because memory exists and continues to manifest itself because the spirit of man has not been liberated. That is, it is still conditioned by its inferior and astral nature. Instead of being the meeting point, the ultimate plan of relationship between the universal spirit and the spirit of man. Man must understand death well, because death is understood without having to live it. But it is lived, and must be lived, as long as man has not understood the laws of his reality. Any attachment to forms leads to death. For attachment to forms is part of the soul's power over astral and animal consciousness. Astral consciousness is the animal consciousness of man, because it increases in man the sensation of corporeal and material materiality, and from there all the emotional passions of man. However, his emotional passions are not part of his mind, but diminish his mind, because they confuse his intelligence, and from there confuse his contact with the universal in him. Once this is well understood, the evolution towards fusion accelerates and man becomes universal. It is not death itself that is a problem for man, but misunderstood life that allows death. If we consider that man is a multidimensional being, who must be unified in his principles, we see that death prevents this unification of his principles from his being, and that is why his consciousness is not continuous and creative. Much thought has been given to death, but instead of abolishing it, large poetic and philosophical pages have been written, and the cycle continues. Death will gradually be eliminated from the face of the earth, individual by individual. And in the course of the evolution of the centuries to come, it will become normal to know that such and such a man has calmly disappeared from the material surface of the planet, and that his body is no longer in the ground, but elevated on a plane by the power of his morontial body. But for the moment, man is moving towards a higher consciousness. He is evolving. And even if he must die, because fusion is not in his time, he will return to the plane of death, enriched in his memory and with a freer, more perfected mind, so that in the next cycle, it may be, this time, easier for the thought adjuster to merge with him.